This is F1 Debrief. He occasionally sneaks up there and has a word. On this show, we discuss who is taking over the Caterham factory, the type of smiles at McLaren, and the role of test drivers.
Why, hello, madame.
Good day to you.
I heard a rumour that McLaren made their final decision on what their 2015 driver lineup will be, and I thought you and I should get together and discuss that very decision.
Well, everyone else is talking about it, so perhaps we should.
Before we get into the details of who's driving where, I did want to scrub back quickly to the post-season tests in Abu Dhabi, because I think that is going to be crucial for McLaren's next season. And in the test, they took their new Honda engine, but it didn't fare as well as one might have hoped it would do.
Is it the worst test anyone has ever had ever?
It probably isn't as bad as Renault last year.
Over 2 days, they managed 5 laps. I'm sure Renault did manage more than that.
3 on day one, 2 on day two, and then they packed up and went home. It was a very short test, and it was an opportunity for Honda to get some running in McLaren's old chassis, not the chassis that their engine will run in next year. So no doubt there were some installation issues and there were some things that weren't quite ideal for Honda, but it would give them the head start on next year. And to my mind, 5 laps is not enough to have come away with.
It's a bit of a balancing act because, well, they had a lot of attention on them, which wasn't necessarily fair, but it was the big Honda debut. I think they'd just done a filming day or something at Silverstone before.
A private test day, yep.
So this was their big public debut, and it really didn't go well, which was just embarrassing for everyone involved. But they're trying to fit a whole season's worth of knowledge and 3 weeks of testing that everyone else has into 2 days. But on the other hand, they should have learnt a lot.
Well, Honda are entering with the benefit of hindsight of every other engine manufacturer and the problems they had. So Honda, like us, would have seen all the problems that happened in pre-season testing and all the issues that teams had to overcome there. McLaren themselves have obviously ran with the new power unit for a season, so the mechanics will be familiar with it. The tools will be designed around it. You'd think there would be a body of knowledge they could fall back on to make sure that problems that they experienced in Abu Dhabi could never happen.
It was Stoffel in the car for the 2 days, but he wasn't really in the car for very long. Most of his installation laps ended with the car coming back on the back of a truck.
Mm. And that is an all too familiar sight for anyone who remembers pre-season testing. Car goes out, car comes back on the back of a truck.
They have narrowed down the issue. They say it was fuel data exchange problems, whatever that means.
It doesn't matter. Well, they've got one, at least they've got the engine running. And when it comes to the pre-season test in 2015, then hopefully that occurrence won't happen. You know, they've managed to gain at least that much knowledge. But to have turned up in Abu Dhabi for 2 days with this engine, you would have wanted to get more, to come away with more, to have a better baseline, to make the most of next year, because they've got catching up to do. Honda, McLaren are Honda's only engine partner. They haven't got any other smaller teams out there to do running for them. McLaren have to do the bulk of the work, and it's all obviously going to happen at the start of next season, but they're a year behind before they've even got going.
Yeah, because Renault didn't get many laps in their pre-season testing, but they didn't get many laps with several teams.
Mm.
And yes, that just helps.
It's a big, I mean, McLaren are obviously the only team, and Honda will no doubt wish they had a smaller customer or someone else who wouldn't mind running some extra miles to help them out.
They need Super Aguri back.
They do. Well, that would help, yes. I mean, they don't need the team to be particularly successful, but they do need someone out there who can run that engine as best they can.
Sound like Super Aguri.
There is a further problem up the road for Honda, which is there were rumours that the engine specification would change in 2016. I know Red Bull's Christian Horner has been petitioning to introduce a new engine in 2015, which means...
Is that because he runs a Renault?
There are many reasons for that argument, mm-hmm. But you're going to have a situation where most manufacturers have got 2 years worth of use out of their development work, whereas Honda have only got potentially one year to capitalize on what they can do. So they do need to come out of the gate fast. You know, you can't wander around in 2015 building up as other teams have done this year, because they'll be too far behind. And by the time it comes around to next year, then they'll be behind again, and you know they'll never get up to speed. They've got to come out, I think. McLaren Honda have to come out of the gate fast in
Australia. It's really hard for them, though, because, yes, they've they're a year behind everyone else. The expectations are crazy. I mean, people are expecting this to be McLaren's big turnaround. They're going to be amazing. That's going to be a, you know, Braun style fairy tale. But they're going to have the problems. I mean, when Renault were so rubbish in pre-season testing, and we all expected no one to get to the end of the race in Australia, so expectations were really low.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually, it was fine. But here, everyone's thinking they're going to do amazingly well.
Yes.
They're not going to deliver that.
There's still
more testing to come.
Yes.
But I just can't see them being amazing.
The other problem that McLaren have to overcome is that this year, they ran with the best engine on the grid and didn't make the most of it. Williams beat them. They struggled to get the better of Force India for half of the season. So even with a fantastic engine, their chassis was severely lacking this year. And so during the off-season, not only have they got to meld this brand new engine into their chassis, but they've got to fix improve on all of the performance problems that they suffered this year as well. So even if the Honda is dynamite out of the box somehow by some miracle, it doesn't mean that McLaren are going to be able to get it together in time, the rest of the package together in time to actually make the most of whatever they've got. And so there's a lot riding on what McLaren can do this year. Sam Michael is out the door, so that might help.
The bad maybe. Penny.
Yeah, so, you know, and Eric Boullier's had time now to make whatever changes he's keen to do. They've lost Paffett. They've got Magnussen now back in reserve driver. It's all change, and maybe those changes will be positive. Maybe they can do a Williams. Maybe McLaren could produce a race-winning car in 2015.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing they've got going in their favour is they took a long time to make their driver decision. But what they've gone for is Fernando Alonso and Jenson Button, both very, very experienced drivers, both presumably quite good at, you know, improving a car, giving good feedback,
mm-hmm.
and both reasonably fast and, you know, clean.
Would you suggest that this year some of the performance problems rests on Kevin Magnussen's shoulders and the fact that he took so long to get up to speed that he wasn't giving the engineers the feedback they needed?
I don't think it was all down to him. I think that probably played a part. But really, they just didn't have the car beneath them, and it got slightly better as the season went on. Or it was a bit of a roller coaster, really, wasn't it? Highs and lows, depending where they were.
Mm.
I don't think you can blame that all on the inexperience of Kevin Magnussen. He's still going to be there in the wings, learning, presumably, and trying to see himself into a seat in the future. But with the two, Alonso and Button, I think they've got what they need to develop quickly. It's just whether they can do it in time. I mean, a couple of months, it's not really that long.
You have two completely different drivers psychologically as teammates now. You have Jenson Button, who's essentially very, very grateful that he's in Formula One for at least one more season, because for much of the end of this year, it was looking very much like he would not be in Formula One in the future and would have to look elsewhere.
It's a two-year contract, isn't it?
Two-year contract. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, he's going to be around for much longer. But he's coming from the position that he almost lost his Formula One drive, and he's got to do everything he can to make sure that Ron Dennis made the right decision to reward Ron's faith in making that decision. And then in the other seat, you've got Fernando Alonso, who is super hungry to earn himself at least one more world championship, something that he went to Ferrari to do and failed to do. And it's, you know, it feels like a very long time since his two back-to-back world championships. And he's a guy who deserves to have more than two world championships, and I'm sure he's keen to make amends. So it could be a dynamite lineup.
It does have that potential. Of course, everyone's mind goes back to 2007 when Alonso was last at the team, and it really wasn't much fun. Well, it was fun for us watching.
I find it very stressful watching that season unfold. I sincerely hope lessons have been learned and we don't have to go through that again.
During the media event where the drivers were revealed, Alonso and Ron Dennis were very chummy. There was all backslapping and hugs and that slightly embarrassed smile that's like, we know there's history, but honestly, it's fine.
It's going to be fine. And we're okay with what happened. Didn't Ron at one point blame the entire thing on Lewis Hamilton?
Well, kind of.
Basically said it's Lewis's fault.
Yeah, he said, if you go on the who struck the first blow route, actually, I would say that Lewis had his role to play in starting this process, which escalated.
That's so Ron, by the way.
It's just really, well, yeah. It's Lewis's fault, you could have said.
Presumably he was saying that because Lewis wasn't there to answer back. And
it's
Alonso
a bit cheeky.
Was. It's a tricky, tricky situation. Fernando Alonso did not cover himself in glory. I'm amazed that he's willing to come back to McLaren. Presumably he thinks that whatever he was unhappy with has changed. Maybe he himself has changed, and that's the key difference this time around. It would be nice if the relationship ended better this time around.
Yeah, I mean, looking at them on paper, you think, well, Button's a super nice guy. It's probably going to be fine. But then again, I did think that about Rosberg before this year. And that relationship went south very quickly.
When there's a sniff of a world championship, these things do unravel very quickly.
My favourite quote from the whole of the McLaren thing was Ron saying that the rivalry between Hamilton and Alonso got away from me, which is like the understatement of the century.
100,000.
Alonso threw a helmet at a door.
Yes, he did. He smashed. He smashed the McLaren motorhome to pieces.
Well, that got away from me.
One thing I would say about the lineup is that Fernando Alonso appears hungrier. He seems like a guy who's on a mission to prove that he can get himself another world championship. Jenson Button appears to be the guy who's happy with the one he's got and is happy just to be in the sport. So it's possible that the fire and the hunger isn't there in the same for Jenson Button in the same way that it was for Lewis Hamilton in 2007. And therefore, Fernando Alonso will have less to fight against. And I actually think Jenson Button could be very good for him. I think he would make a very, he's kind of easy, laid back, chilled out teammate. Remember how Lewis was before Jenson Button joined McLaren and then how he was after.
I can't wait to see the like viral marketing videos that they come up with.
Oh, it's going
to
be fantastic. It was fantastic. Alonso at McLaren was the best marketing matchup, and that should be good. That should be fantastic. Look forward to Alonso entombed. Come on, you know you want to see that.
That's got to happen.
That has to happen. So there's a lot to look forward to this year. I for one, am glad that McLaren and Ron took the time to make the right decision. I know he had to defend himself against a lot of people who were crying out for his head because it was taking so long.
I really don't understand why it went so crazy. It's really odd because it's not the first time that driver decisions have taken a long time. I mean, Marussia left it to like 2 weeks before the championship, mm-hmm. and there really wasn't that much fuss. I know Button fans were obviously wanting to know whether it was his last race and if he was going to come back, and that makes sense. But it was like people were really angry at McLaren, and I just couldn't quite see why. Because take your time, make the decision. We'll wait.
Well, you could look actually at a team who did the opposite. If you look at Red Bull Racing, when Sebastian Vettel said, "I'm done, I'm going to go to Ferrari," instantly that moment, a press release was put together, and Kvyat was named as Ricciardo's teammate for the next season at the drop of a hat. And I think Christian Horner admitted afterwards that he wasn't expecting Vettel to hand his notice in, but he did have a backup plan. And you have to think that kind of knee-jerk reaction, you end up with a lineup like Ricciardo and Kvyat, which isn't a lineup that's going to set the world alight. It isn't really. And then you take your time to think it through, and you end up with a Fernando Alonso and Jenson Button on your team. And that seems to me like the sensible, correct way to run a business.
Ron did say, "The decision sits with me and I take the consequences of the results in 2015. No one is going to cut me any slack at all if the decision is wrong," which is what you just said.
That is true. Oh yeah. If Jenson Button turns out to be a complete disaster and loses his way, it's Ron's fault. But it will be the same people that were, you know, begging for Jenson to be re-signed and couldn't, you know, didn't want to see him go out of the sport, that will be calling for Ron's head. Because that's the hypocrisy of the media and the fans, you know? They want their favourite driver to be the fastest, and if he's not, someone else is going to get the blame, I guess.
I'm glad the decision is done now, though, because it was a lot of stress, and now we can just relax and breathe. We know the lineup for next year. All is well.
At this point, going into Christmas, I genuinely have fears about the Honda engine. I don't think all is well there. I have genuine concerns about the McLaren chassis. I'm not entirely sure they've got the necessary. Peter Prodromu, who came over from Red Bull, you could see at the final race of 2014 his hand and his handiwork appearing on the McLaren. There was a carbon copy front wing.
There was a side-by-side picture and you couldn't really tell them apart except for the paint job.
Yeah, the paint job was the only thing that differentiated the Red Bull and the McLaren. Now, if you can take what Red Bull had over the last five seasons and apply that to a McLaren, then that logic and that kind of performance, and take you know, keep in mind that Adrian Newey is stepping back from Red Bull, so he's not going to be such a threat. McLaren are working their way into a decent position, but will it be enough and will it be fast enough? I'm not sure. We can but hope.
We mentioned already that Kevin Magnussen stays with the team. He is their test, reserve and third driver. I did quite like that it it was a long wait to find out which they were going to keep, Jensen or Kevin, and actually they just kept both of them.
Team remains the same, except the guy steps back. It's a raw deal, though, in a Formula One season that doesn't allow very much in-season test.
Yeah, it's really tricky. Some people have said, what's the difference between what Magnussen is doing and what Stoffel is doing? Because he's also staying with the team. He's their test and development driver.
Mm.
But I guess the difference is he is doing GP2 at the same time, so he's really in training. And right. Kevin is the reserve driver, so he'll step in. So he's just in waiting.
Well, Paffett is left, so there's that role to fill, basically the simulator driver, which I guess Stoffel is going to do the most of, because he won't be doing so much travelling.
Yeah.
On the plus side, every driver has motivation to do their best right now, because Stoffel's keen to jump up to a seat. Magnussen is keen to make sure that he's next in line. And you've got the two race drivers who are both out to prove something.
But also from McLaren's point of view, they're really just keeping him really in reserve because there's nowhere else for him to go. But they probably don't want to lose him completely. And Button has a 2-year contract. Maybe in 2 years, there'll be a seat free and Magnussen can step back up again.
Yeah, or maybe a B team will appear, emerge, who would like to take a McLaren technology on board in the same way that Force India have
when
done.
When Super Aguri come back,
right,
he can go and drive for them.
That's where he's going, is it? That's your long-term plan.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Leafield factory is free, thanks to the bust up of Caterham. So, you know, Aguri could just squeeze right back in there.
This plan is coming together.
Are you planning to run it?
I could do that.
Mm. Yes, probably well enough, actually, as well as it needs to be. Basically, can you make the engine do more than 5 laps? You'll be fine. That's all it takes. It's not that hard, people.
Given the information we've got so far, then, what do you think McLaren will be able to do next year? Will they be winning the championship?
No one's going to win the championship at Mercedes next year. I can't see anything else happening there. So the ideal position will be second. But better than whatever the hell they achieved this year, which was...
They finished fifth this year, directly behind Ferrari. Now, Alonso is going to want to improve on that, I think.
Well, Alonso will be hoping to do a Massa, which will be several podiums, move away from Ferrari and step up.
Be best of the rest.
Mm, that really should be... That's, to my mind, maybe that's too high an ambition. Maybe that's unrealistic. And no doubt people in McLaren will think otherwise, when they look at the mountain they've got to climb. I mean, anything less than third will be a disappointment in my eyes. So second, great. Third, acceptable. But I would like to see a race win from McLaren next year because it's been too long. And that's where they're expected to be. Look at the heritage McLaren have. Look at their factory. They should not be a team who are struggling to keep up with a smaller outfit like Williams. Now, Williams overachieved. So granted, that's a tough comparison. But Force India are tiny by comparison to McLaren, and yet had them on the run for half of this year. And that shouldn't be the case. And that's a concern. You expect McLaren to be a top team. They should be a top team. I would like to see them finish second.
Yeah, see, and that goes back to the high expectations thing I was talking about, and I don't have that. I have a much lower expectations. I mean, this year, they were closer to Force India than they were to Ferrari, so they were closer to being sixth and then. And I just think maybe they're get more points than they did this year, but they're still going to be somewhere around the same in the middle of the table.
That would be a shocking waste of talent in both respect of the management and the drivers.
We know Alonso can haul everything
yes.
out of an underdeveloped car.
Yes.
But I just don't think, you have to have the engine running for that to happen.
But Honda you have to rely on Honda to make an engine. This is what you want from an engine manufacturer, and McLaren will be the works team. They'll get all the latest developments, which they weren't getting with the Mercedes. They'll be able to drive the development of the McLaren more than they could with Mercedes. They are a works team, so they should be there. It should be, by rights, it should be McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari in the top three, because Renault don't really have a works team, although Red Bull sort of are by default. But essentially, that's what you want as your top three. Now, the Mercedes engine has such an advantage, it's possible that Ferrari won't be able to make up the difference, and Honda are too far behind, which could give Mercedes, a 2 or 3 year run on these teams. But that is how that's how it should work. That's how it should be. It should be that simple. They're the biggest teams in Formula One. They are the shining lights in terms of development and in terms of performance.
But if we've learned anything in our time studying Formula One, nothing is that simple.
No, it isn't. No. But let's hope that it's, you know, let's hope that McLaren don't finish fifth or sixth again, because what's the point of going through all this with Honda? What's the point of taking on these, you know, all these changes coming in at late stages? Because you would hope that the management team are thinking things through and making sure they've got a plan in place. And what they need is a plan. What they don't want to do is run around making crazy decisions, and that's not happened. We've seen that that is, it's not happened. And that's why I was kind of dismayed at all these fans calling for a shotgun response to confirm in their lineup, because you've got to make the right calls. And you'd hope that these people are capable of making the right calls, and that's why they're in the jobs they're in. If they're not capable of doing that, they shouldn't be there. If Eric Boullier can't drag performance out of McLaren this year, he shouldn't be in McLaren. Get somebody else. I mean, the other question is, where does the axe fall now that Sam Michael's gone? Who's the next in line to cop it when it goes wrong?
It's definitely got to be Boullier, because I'm not 100% sure what he's actually doing.
Well, he's supposed to be... Well, I mean, he's the man to drag everybody else in order. You know, he's the man who calls it...
Yeah, but that's Ron Dennis, clearly.
Well, Ron's busy running... he's in the process of trying to take over the team right now, isn't he? He's trying to get together the finances. He's the money guy now. He's not making drive. You know, he's not making calls at the racetrack. Supposedly, he says he's never going to be on the pit wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, occasionally he sneaks up there and has a word. Eric is the man who's in charge of... He's the man in charge of getting the results. That's as I see it. Maybe that's too big a role for him, but that's what I... You know, the car performance comes down to Eric, and he's got to make sure he's got the right team and the right people around him to do that, to make that happen.
Well, that's what we think, but we want to know what you think. So if you have an opinion on McLaren, where they'll finish next year, whether they'll even be able to get a running car in Australia, whatever you think is going to happen, let us know. You can send us voicemails to 0121 288 7225. That's Sidepodcast on Skype. You can email me, christine@sidepodcast.com, or visit us on Twitter @sidepodcast or Facebook,
which is facebook.com/sidepodcast. Have you mentioned the contact form?
There is a contact form, sidepodcast.com/contact.
And the big question, the question I would like to know the answer to, is where you think McLaren will finish in Australia. Will both cars see the end of the race? Will any McLaren see the end of the Australian Grand Prix? And if it does, will it finish anywhere near a podium? That's my big question. It's the big talking point. Now that the driver decisions are made, the talking point over Christmas is what comes next for McLaren.